So I have to confess that I'm a little tired. I told Roth quite a long time ago that I would do this today, and I wasn't really thinking it through that, like, oh, I'm just going to be finishing up this huge series. So I was talking to Colleen on Tuesday and saying, okay, well, what was talked about last week? And I was going to try to figure out if I could do something dovetailing in that. And she mentioned that one of the gentlemen in the class was sharing about his testimony as it relates to coming out of the LDS tradition. And so I thought that maybe it would be interesting to show a video that we sell at Reasons to Believe called DNA versus the Book of Mormon. And it's a short little video. It's only about 40 minutes, and we could watch it together and then maybe have a little discussion. But this relates to Hugh's idea of testability. You know, one of Hugh's things is always putting world religions or holy books to the test. And a way that has emerged in just recent years, a very powerful way to put the Book of Mormon to the test, is through genetic research. And that's really what this video is all about. And there's also a book. Colleen's got some of these over there for sale. And there's also a book, if you're more into the documentation. This is a molecular, he's a molecular biochemist, or PhD, yeah, in molecular biology, yeah. All right, bust it carefully. So anyways, we got this book, too, by Simon Southerton. You'll see him in the video. He's the Australian fellow, and he has a PhD in molecular biology. Anyways, he used to be a bishop in the LDS church, and he used this approach of genetic research because he went out to initially try to prove the Book of Mormon through genetic research. And in the process, very quickly realized that there were some serious scientific problems with the Book of Mormon, and eventually came out of Mormonism as a result of it through this very method. So this is more about his research. And so you just need to understand where he's coming from in this, but this will give you a lot of the documentation. And as we watch it, I kind of wanted us to think about a couple of things, and that is, in your mind, be thinking about the similarities and differences between some of the historical claims of the Bible and the historical claims of the Book of Mormon. I don't think we're always aware of the tight relationship between history and theology. There is a certain sense in which a large part of our faith rests on history and the historical claims of the Bible. Because you can't go around proving the Trinity, that the Trinity is a fact. I mean, why do we have a rational reason to believe in the Trinity? Well, it's because the Bible makes other claims that we can put to the test. And when we see that those things come out looking good, then we say, okay, now here's something that seems reliable. And then you kind of generalize that to say, well, maybe I can trust these other spiritual truths in the Bible. So there's a very tight connection in Scripture, in the Bible, between history and theology. And you're going to see that discussion emerge in this video as it relates to the Book of Mormon and history. And so just be thinking, then we'll have a little discussion afterwards of some of your thoughts, and I'll just open it up if we want to talk about it a little bit. So, are we ready?
Well,
maybe. I can stall some more. I got some notes here. It is interesting to me conservative Christianity how quickly you get this idea of the dichotomy between science and faith, or facts and faith. I was doing a little lesson with my daughter this week. I'm homeschooling her. She's in kindergarten now. And we've been going through Genesis. And we were in Genesis chapter 2, and I always write out the verses on the board that we're going to study that day, and then we read it together. She's learning how to read. And it was quite humorous to, as we had a little discussion, because I was trying to give her a lesson on the factual nature of Scripture. And so we were listing all the things that we could test on the board that come out of Genesis 2. And so we're making this little list, and I'm trying to ask her, you know, what are some places that are mentioned in Genesis 2? Because we've been doing geography, and so she's kind of familiar with this concept. And she finally just stops the lesson, and she says, "Mommy, why do we need to test the Bible?" God just tells us it's true. And I was like, oy vey, we've already separated faith and facts, and you're five. I've got some work I got to do here. So we had to kind of back up a minute and talk about this whole concept with a five-year-old, but she's even starting to see it in her Sunday school classes and everything, and it's just out there. It's just in the mindset of Christianity so much, and that's what I really appreciate about Hugh's perspective and this kind of angle that this video is presenting, is it kind of gets you coming at the whole question from a totally different perspective in testing religions. I can do some knock-knock jokes. Oh, I know what I'll talk about. Oh, we got it. Okay. You know, I went on one of Hugh's speaking engagements this time for the very first time. I worked at Reasons to Believe for 6 years. And I got to go to Chicago with him in February for his Willow Creek tour. And I just want to tell you, that is like the most fascinating thing. You have no idea what Hugh Ross is like on the road. It is absolutely fascinating. It was a whole different side of him that I had never seen before in the 6 years I had worked there. This Willow Creek Community Church is a huge church. They got three enormous auditoriums. He spoke on a Friday night to over 3,000 people there, caused a huge traffic jam out in the parking lot. But he just had a command of that audience that I've never seen him do in any other context. It's like he's in his element. And he was so tired and so sick. But once he got up on that stage, it was like it didn't matter. And he was up there for almost 2 hours answering people's questions. And we had over 500 people come the next day to our conference. And it was just fascinating to watch Hugh in his element. So thanks for sharing him with us. Yeah.
Originally, we're supposed to have two TVs. They're not.
Yeah, watching Dr. Southerton there, the Australian fellow, my heart just really goes out to him. I mean, you can see him he just seems so devastated by this and his personal faith. And I guess I show this video, and that brings up a good point. I don't want anybody to think, you know, like, hey, let's go beat up our Mormon friends with this. You know, but it is a way that offers a little bit more of an objective critique of a religious book. And that's what I like about Hugh's approach, is that kind of gets the worldviews out of it and a little bit more into the objective, right behind Marlene here. Yeah, it's an interesting point, because I was thinking that just as I was watching it, you have to be careful even how we set up our own scriptures. And if we set up a young earth paradigm and then people start really investigating the evidence, if they think that the only two options here are young earth creationism and the Bible on one side or non-belief on the other, that can be very difficult, because there have been cases of that happening, and people that are involved in the creation evolution debate, they're definitely out there, and they're very vocal about, you know, I used to be young earth creationists, I investigated the evidence for myself, I found out it was bogus, now I don't believe in God. And those people are definitely out there. And so we talked to Hugh and I and Fuzz once, we interviewed, or maybe it was Dave Rogstad, we interviewed a prominent young earth leader, and basically Hugh asked him, you know, well, what if you ever found out that the data was really for pointed the universe was old, like there was some piece of data that just really convinced you that the universe was old? And he says, well, then I really don't think I'd be a Christian, because to him that was just such a compromised position to adopt an old earth perspective. It was either young earth creationism or unbelief. To him, those were really the only two options. I'll let you follow up, and I'll go on the back. And when you really think about the historical claims, the point that I was making before I showed the video, there's a tight connection in Scripture between history and theology. I mean, and you saw in this, if the history is wrong, it really makes you start doubting, well, you know, what is my eternal security? You know, the whole doctrine of eternal progression and all of that. I mean, you have really no rational foundation then to believe in that, because if these historical claims are proven untrue, then it really kind of cuts you off at the knees in terms of your confidence in the theological issues. In the back. Yeah, that would be wonderful, is to help them be, this will be a way out. And in fact, the very point that you raised about the Worldwide Church of God and sort of their journey back to orthodoxy, is the model that the ministry that made this video uses. It's Living Hope Ministries, and it's basically like three guys, I think they're pastors or something, who just really have this burden, and so they are making these videos. They have another one coming out this fall on archaeology, but right on their website, right on the homepage, is that very argument is, you know, here's a way out. Here's a model that we're trying to encourage Mormons to consider as a way out and back to way out of Mormonism and back to orthodoxy. Right here. Yeah, I think that's right, Marlene. I think their view is that they were taken back to God. Yeah. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this. It's an interesting angle on the whole thing, and I'll just leave you with this, that, you know, from a Christian perspective, maybe go home today and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And some interesting statements in there by Paul about the resurrection. And the resurrection is really the keystone of our faith as Christians. And it says, you know, if Christ has not been raised, which is a historical event, then you are still in your sins, which is a theological assertion. And that, I think 1 Corinthians 15 gives us a good model for understanding the interweaving of history and theology throughout Scripture. So I just leave you with that today, and I'm going to close this in prayer. And again, if you want to pick up the book or the video, Colleen's got some over here. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today and this opportunity to get together as your people, and we just humbly ask, Father, that the message that we saw today, we would not use it in a way to beat up our Mormon friends and loved ones, but that it would just be a real call on us, maybe giving us a little bit of a different angle on how to dialogue with the people that we love about these issues. And we just ask for humility, and also that you would help us to be reassured in our own faith of the testimony that you have given to us in the Old and New Testaments and through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we look forward with hope, because you have raised your Son in history. We look forward to hope, to having eternal life with you. And we thank you so much for that great hope, and what a wonderful thing it is, and that it rests on a rational foundation. And we just ask you to bring us all together again next week and bring Hugh home safely from his trip. In Jesus' name, amen.